This Is Your Life, episode 97. Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about how to do more of what you love and less of what you don't. Do you feel like you're too busy? Do you feel overwhelmed? Are you ready to get off the merry-go-round? If so, this episode's for you. I'm going to share with you some practical strategies for getting some margin back so you can do what matters most. You can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript in the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/97, as in episode 97. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
This is you competing against all other people in the same niche. I didn't hear it either. To get your message heard in an increasingly competitive and noisy world, you need a solid platform. You need a place to wow your audience, build your home base, engage your tribe, and expand your reach. The solution? The Platform Conference, November 9th through the 11th, 2014. Brought to you by Michael Hyatt and Ken Davis. The Platform Conference is the place to take your platform to the next level. Our small and intimate environment will enable you to work closely with some of the most prolific speakers in the world and network with individuals who are invested in personal growth and success. Register today at platformconference.tv.
And be heard in a noisy world.
Several months ago, I recorded two podcasts on the subject of delegation. The first one dealt with the principles of delegation. That was episode 42, in case you want to go back and listen. The second suggested how you might delegate even if you don't have a staff, and that was episode 43. Well, in these podcasts, I suggested that the primary reason to delegate is that non-delegation simply doesn't scale. It's not sustainable. It's why so many people feel overworked, overwhelmed, and burned out. But there's an even more important reason to delegate, and that's this: to enable you to focus on what you do best in order to maximize your impact. Well, I touched at this at the end of the first episode, episode 42, but I want to elaborate in this episode. I think it's something we all need to think through as leaders if we're going to be effective in our roles and really create the change and the leadership that we want. And here's the way I think about it. I do some things well and some things not so well. And the same is true for you. If you try to be the jack of all trades, like they say, you'll likely be master of none. When I'm operating in my strength zone, I'm happy and productive. The quality of my work goes up, and I increase my impact. And equally important, I leave space for my team members to make their greatest contributions. And conversely, when I don't do this, I'm stressed, unproductive, I run out of margin, and as a result, the quality of my work suffers. And I deprive others of making their best contributions because I don't leave any space for them to operate. They don't get the opportunity to express their strengths. So if we're going to stay focused as leaders and become even more effective, have an even more powerful impact, we've got to have a delegation strategy. And that's what I want to cover in this episode. My strategy consists of three components. And I'm going to use myself as an example, and then I'm going to shift it and talk about you. So three components. Number one, component number one, identify your strengths. You know, I talk a lot about Strengths Finders, which is a personal assessment test that was first made popular by Marcus Buckingham in his book, Now Discover Your Strengths. Tom Rath built on that and released another book called Strengths Finder 2.0, and both are hugely important books. I highly, highly recommend them. But that's not what I'm referring to here. In this context, in the context of this episode, I'm talking about those activities where you make the greatest contribution and experience the most joy. And most of us know what those are. But for me, for example, my greatest strengths are in writing and speaking and being the spokesperson for my brand. And it's frankly a very narrow range of activities. I can't do everything. So I need to be crystal clear about where I add the most value. And I've determined over months and years that these are my greatest strengths. And whenever I venture too far afield from those strengths, I don't add as much value. And in fact, I create more problems than I solve because I'm taking work away from my staff and they're gifted to do it much better than I am. So the question for you is, what are your strengths? If you had to limit your strengths to just two or three, and honestly, most of us aren't great at more than two or three things. But if you had to limit these to two or three, what would they be? I would encourage you just to write these on a piece of paper so that you can get really crystal clear on your high value, high payoff activities. So component number one, identify your strengths. Component number two, offload everything else. Now, admittedly, this can't usually happen immediately. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you could? You just identify those two or three things that you're great at, and you just delegate the rest of it, and you know, you live happily ever after. But that's not usually the way that it works. It's taken me almost 3 years in my current occupation as an entrepreneur, and I'm still not done. But when I started out my entrepreneurial adventure, I had a ton of stuff that I was doing that I wasn't great at. And in fact, I discovered that I was devoting more than half my available work hours to administrative activities. This included things like reading and responding to email, managing my calendar, booking appointments, making travel arrangements, paying the bills, collecting money, negotiating contracts, writing sales copy, researching vendors, designing marketing materials, and the list goes on and on. But the point is, I was doing a lot of stuff others could have done and done better than I could. And once I realized this, I began slowly hiring part-time assistants to help me. And again, I didn't do it all at once. This has happened over 3 years. But I started by giving up the stuff either I wasn't good at or I didn't enjoy doing. And each time I confronted a task, I asked myself, is this something someone else can do or is it something only I can do? And that's a question you've got to ask yourself. And as a result of that process, I hired the following people in more or less this order. First, a web developer to handle all the technical details of my blog, set up new modules I wanted to add, for example, like e-commerce, write custom code for components we couldn't find elsewhere. So hiring a web developer took a ton of work off of my back. Then I hired a virtual executive assistant to read and filter email, manage my calendar, schedule appointments, make my travel arrangements, handle all the other projects that I didn't have time for. And that was a huge productivity gain on my part when I hired her. And then a bookkeeper to pay the bills, invoice clients, process payments, balance accounts, provide various financial reports, all that. The person also handles all my personal finances. Then I hired a booking agent to handle the inquiries from event planners and negotiate speaking fees and travel reimbursements and collect the money. All stuff I could do, but I wasn't very good at it, and it was keeping me from doing the few things that only I could do. Then I hired a graphic designer to create the graphics we use for new products and marketing materials, and then a dean to run Platform University, including the content planning, the production, the promotion, and a video producer to shoot and edit all my video content. I tried doing that for a while, by the way, and it was enormously time-consuming because I didn't do it day in and day out. Sure, I could do it, but it wasn't a great use of my time. It was very inefficient because I hadn't spent, you know, the 8 or 10,000 hours to get great at it. And so I just, you know, had to muscle through it and it was a ton of work. Then I hired a podcast producer to edit and post my podcast. And for probably 30 episodes or so, I did it myself. And then I realized I needed that half day that it was taking me to edit. I needed that back so I could do other things. And then a customer support rep. And this year, we're in the process of adding three other positions. But interestingly, and get this, only two of these people are now paid employees, and we just added the second one. But the rest are all independent contractors who have other clients. Some work a few hours a week for me, some up to 20, but only three of us, myself included, are full-time. So let's turn it to your situation. If you were going to add people, who would you add first? Who would you add second? And so on. And this is what's really important to understand, especially if about now you're feeling like, I don't have the resources to handle anybody. Here's what I want to say to you. I don't think the resources show up until you get clear on what you need. Let me say it again. The resources typically don't show up until you get crystal clear on what you need. It's not like the money just shows up and you go, oh, I need to spend this on something. I think I'll hire somebody. For me, at least, it's been a process of getting crystal clear on what I need and then beginning to think about how I'm going to get the resources or what I can afford. But the vision has to come first. So that's really the second component, and that's to offload everything else. Here's a third component for you. Get even more focused. Once I had the basic positions in place, I started asking myself, are there aspects, even of my strengths, these activities that could be delegated to others? For example, as I said, writing, speaking, and being the spokesperson for my brand are my strengths. But there are other aspects of these activities that others could do. So as you slice it and dice it at even a more granular level, you'll find there are certain aspects of those activities that others could do so you can focus on the aspects that only you can do. So I started deconstructing my creative process. I discovered that each project, whether it's a blog post or a podcast like this or a book, a speech, a video segment, a screencast, whatever, it has four phases. Phase one for me is always researching the content. Phase two, I got to create the content. I either got to write it or I've got to speak it into a microphone or I've got to, you know, do it in front of a video camera. Phase three, package the content. And then phase four, promoting the content. Now, I've already delegated, at least at this point in my career, most of three and four. So somebody else is packaging it, somebody else is promoting it. But that leaves one and two, researching the content and creating the content. And a couple of weeks ago, I hired a writer to help me with researching and writing first drafts of my blog posts and other written kinds of content. Now, I still create the ideas, and that's really that whole ideation process is something that's really the strength of my strengths. I work on the outlines, I fine-tune the drafts, but he's pretty much doing the heavy lifting for me. This not only gives me more time to create other products, but it makes my new blog posts even better because I have help with the research. And just, you know, like they say, two heads are better than one unless they're on the same neck. And in this case, they're not. So this has been hugely helpful to me. So far, this is saving me about half a day a week, time that I can deploy into other projects and get even more focused on what I do best. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made. And similarly, I'm working on a new model for researching and recording my podcasts. And I really think this is going to be a game changer for me, and I can't wait to tell you about it, but it's too soon. We're still in the developmental phase of that. Now, I'm still handling some of the promotion of my content via my social media channels, but I plan to delegate that sometime later this year as well. And, you know, don't worry, I'm still going to be involved. I'm still going to be accessible. I'm still going to be responsive in social media, but there's some of it that's pretty perfunctory that I could hire somebody else to do that would free me up to stay focused on what I do best. The point is to allow me to achieve a narrower field of focus so I can be more productive and happy doing what I do best and adding the most value possible. But what about you? How could you get even more focused? You know, you may want to deconstruct your strengths into their logical phases or components. Yours may look completely different than mine, but it's worth thinking about and it's worth analyzing and assessing. Are there aspects of your strengths that you could eventually delegate? Now, the one real limitation you and I face in leadership is our time. It's truly a finite resource. I mean, you can always get more money, and I know it's not always easy, but you know that's one of those resources that doesn't seem to have the same kind of limits on it. But time, all of us have 168 hours a week. We can't increase that. All we can do is try to delegate, and we can't buy or borrow more of it unless we delegate. And to do this effectively, we need a long-term delegation strategy, and this will enable us to maximize our strengths and increase our impact. So I want to encourage you to think this all the way through. If you were to delegate, if you were to focus more on your strengths, who would you delegate to first? What about second? What about third? And let me just leave this question for you. What is your long-term delegation strategy? Who would you hire over the next 2 years if you had the resources to do it? Again, based on the principle that the resources don't typically show up until you get clear on what you need. Well, you can leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/97, as in episode 97. And let's turn now to our listener Q&A segment. So Erica wrote in and she asked, when delegating, how did you find the right help? How did you know where to look, who to choose, etc.? The person has to be more than just competent if I'm trusting them with my hard work. I want them to be good. And she has that in all capital letters. How do you find just the right person? Well, this is a great question, and I've thought about this a lot because I get this question a lot, and I basically have a six-part process here that I use, and let me just give these to you quickly. First of all, identify the position I need. You know, if I need, and one of the most recent was we needed an administrator or somebody to manage Platform University because Megan, my daughter, who has been doing that, has kind of graduated and is on to other projects for me and really doing a lot of development work for our company. So just to identify the position I need and literally say out loud, we need this person. That's where it begins. Number two, create a position description to get even more clarity. And a lot of people want to blow past this, just hire somebody, and they hire somebody. They don't really know why they need them, and they don't get clear on what they would do if they had them. So I really adhere to the discipline of a written position description, and I would encourage you to get in the habit of that as well. And then three, and this is just for me as a person of faith, I pray that God will send me the right people. You know, I add these people to my daily prayer list, and I pray sometimes for weeks or months before they show up, but just asking really for supernatural help, you know, that everything would align and God would send me the exact right people. Because even if you have the position description, even if you're smart, even if you're well-connected, even if you have a big platform, all that stuff, you can still easily hire the wrong person if you're not careful. So I need a little divine help in that. Step four for me is I put the word out to my tribe. I mean, who better to recruit than people who already get you, who understand what you're about, who are maybe fans, although I don't want them to be too much of fans. You know, I don't want them to be, in awe of me. Not that there's anything to be in awe of, but I want somebody that's got a realistic picture of me, but understands my philosophy, what my values are, and is somebody who has already interested in the things that I'm passionate about. So I put out the word to my tribe. Number five, I have my assistant or one of my managers do the initial screening. And I don't do that initial screening. I have somebody else do that. And by the way, there's actually seven steps here. Number six, I interview the top candidates. So once Trevinia or somebody else on my team has screened through all the candidates and sort of identified the top two or three, then it's time for me to go to work and begin the process of interviewing those myself. And I do that. And then I make a decision. And one of the things that I do in the process of this is a background check and vetting their references. And actually, Trevinia does that for me, or somebody else who's the hiring manager in this situation, this last person we hired. Megan actually did it. But we want to check references. That's one of the best ways to keep from making a huge hiring mistake. So the next question comes from Ben, and he asks, when do you know you've reached the point where it makes sense to hire a subcontractor or hire an assistant? Well, I think it comes down to this, Ben. Can you make more money in the time you free up than you spend in hiring someone to do that task? Years ago, and maybe this sounds like an indulgent, but years ago, I gave up mowing my own lawn. You know, I kind of enjoyed the time because it was great think time for me, but I could no longer justify the cost when I could hire somebody for a fraction of what I earn per hour to do that work. And plus, kind of the breakthrough for me was realizing that doing it myself, I was depriving someone else of the benefit of doing it for me and getting paid for me. And I know Gail struggled for many years because I wanted to hire a housekeeper for her, somebody just to help her keep up with stuff. With five daughters, you know, that was a lot all by itself to manage. And I wanted to hire someone to help her with the housework, but she had a real hard time doing that because she felt like, as a mom and as a wife whose full-time work was in the home, she felt like that was something she ought to be able to do. And I said, well, honey, a couple things here. One is I want you doing the higher level stuff, you know, nurturing these girls, working with them relationally, helping them achieve what God's called them to do. And there's somebody else that can be doing these other things for you. This is not the best and highest use of you. But here was the game changer for her. I said, there's somebody out there that needs this work, and you're depriving them of that work by insisting on doing it yourself. So again, I think it comes down to, can you make more money in the time you free up than you spend in hiring someone to do that task? And if you persist in doing something that you could hire more cheaply or less expensively than it takes for you to do it yourself, you're kind of foolish to keep doing it yourself. I mean, honestly, that's the best way to get ahead in business. I'm not saying that you should, go on a hiring spree and just hire all kinds of people. I don't like to let my investment get out too far ahead of the revenue that comes back or the return on the investment, but this is just smart business. The last question comes from Melissa, and she asks, how do you find the resources to hire people when you're already operating on a shoestring budget? Well, to go back what I said in the main lesson, vision always, always must come first. And the resources generally don't show up until you have clarity about what you want to use them for. So I've seen people do this both in business and in nonprofits where they let the limitation or their perceived limitation on resources kind of shape their vision. So they end up with a small vision because they have small resources. They're doing it exactly backwards. Big visions, big dreams attract big resources. You got to have the clarity. It's got to be well thought through. I get that. But you got to start with a vision. And most people begin with it exactly backwards. They look at, okay, how much money do I have? What can I afford? And I want to say, get clear on what you need and then pray, think, scheme, plan, ask for the resources, and then invest as you can. Again, I'm not suggesting you go in debt. I'm not suggesting your investment get too far ahead of the return on the investment, but you got to start with the vision. Well, that's about all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/question, and you can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. I'd be happy to entertain it either way. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. And I'll be back after the break with an announcement and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
Hi, this is Trevor Torres from DiabetesEvangelist.com. Man, your screencast just took all the stress out of setting up my website. Thanks so much.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at MichaelHyatt.com/WordPress Setup at MichaelHyatt.com/WordPress Setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
Well, we're just launching our promotion for the Platform Conference, which will be held at the beautiful Broadmoor Resort and Spa in Colorado Springs, November 9 through 11, 2014. That is one of the prettiest hotels I've ever stayed in. It's beautiful at the base of the Rockies, a gorgeous setting. It'll be an awesome conference. Here are some of the speakers that we have lined up. Ken Davis, my business partner, Pat Flynn, Amy Porterfield, Crystal Payne, Stu McLaren, Ray Edwards, Cliff Ravenscraft, Michelle Cachot, Casey Graham, and of course me. But this is all focused on how do you build a platform if you've got a message that you want to get out there. You know, my guess is that if you're listening to this podcast, you dream about connecting with people in a way that's transformational. You've got a message that just needs to get noticed. And if only you could get it noticed, you know it would change people's lives and have an impact. But you maybe don't know where to start, or you don't know how to take it to the next level, or maybe you've plateaued and you stopped growing. Well, if that's the case, the Platform Conference is the conference for you. Not only will you hear world-class experts, like I've mentioned, people that are world-class experts in their subject matter area, but you'll also network with like-minded people. And I know how hard that is sometimes. You're trying to explain to your brother-in-law or your friends what you're trying to do, and they just don't get it. Here you'll be for a couple of days with people that do get it, who are trying to do the same thing. And I'm telling you, the inspiration, the education, the tools will save you a ton of time and get you off to the races so that you can get done what you need to get done faster so that you can get your message out there. So if that sounds like it might be interesting, I'd encourage you to visit platformconference.tv. That's the webpage that we've set up for this. Read all about it. There's a couple of videos there that you can watch, but I would love to see you there. I'd love to shake your hand. I'd love to encourage you personally. So now let me leave you with one final tip. I don't know if you hate paper as much as I do, but I hate paper. I scan everything into Evernote, and then I throw the paper away. And occasionally I keep the paper, but rarely. I have an Evernote scanner, which I love. But what do you do when you're away from your office? Well, mobile scanning technology has come a long, long way. You don't need some little portable scanner. You know, I've tried those, and I don't need one more gadget to carry in my bag. I can't even get all the gadgets in my bag anymore. But what you need is to download an iPhone app called ScanBot on iTunes. Now, this is only $1.99. This isn't an affiliate link or an affiliate plug. It's just something I discovered last week, and I love it. It scans documents directly into Evernote. The quality is outstanding. It even auto crops off all the extraneous material. For example, if you take a photo of a receipt on top of a restaurant table, like I always do, I never like to leave the scene of a restaurant without taking a picture of the receipt and throwing the paper away because I forget later. I forget to scan it. I'm not sure it's in my system. So I do it right there at the scene of the meal. So you scan that or take a picture of it, and a ScanBot will crop out the table, leaving you with just the receipt. It's really cool. It'll even do multi-page documents like contracts. Did one of those last week with it as well. So check it out. It's worth getting if you do a lot of scanning. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. Maybe you've never done that before. It would really help me. And I just like to ask you to take just a second to do that if this podcast episode has been helpful. If you've already been doing that, thanks so much. It does help us get the word out and keep the podcast visible. Thanks also this past week to James Peters, A World of Mouth, The Jet, DefiningMomentsTV.com, Kay Oberbrunner, Parker McNally, Big Ben, and Timothy Jackson for rating my podcast on iTunes this week. That also helps. And you can go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes if you'd like to rate it. I don't care if it's good, bad, or ugly. I would just love to hear from you. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your